It is Mental Health Week and International Mental Health Day. We're talking about sexuality. It's intensely personal and private, but it can affect your life, especially when you're not comfortable to essentially be yourself. Dr. Angela Ebert is a senior lecturer and researcher at Murdoch University and joins me today to talk about how sexuality can affect your mental health. Good morning, Dr. Angela.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, indeed. I'm going well in this Mental Health Week. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about sexuality and our mental health. If you have to refrain from being fully open within your community about your sexuality, if for instance, you're gay or lesbian, how much does that impact on being able to keep in good mental health?
Well, it certainly is not conducive because you want to be who you are and you want to show who you are, and when there's always a pocket of self that's hidden away, it actually starts gnawing away in a positive sense of self. It also creates the rupture between, you know, these people actually like me, but do they still like me if they actually know that my sexual orientation is different? So there's that stand, yeah, I am part of this, but I'm not part of it. I am the same, but I'm not the same. And that really tears a bit of the inner fabric. And for some, it can tear it very significantly, particularly also when there are negative responses or jokes that are clearly indicating, you know, you can't tell these people that you're gay or you're lesbian because you just don't feel safe to do that.
And gay marriage was one of the main issues for people in this year's Vote Compass on the ABC website. So that's a survey of over 1 million Australian voters, and it rated in the top issues for them was the fact that gay marriage should be recognised across the country. Has the fact that we're becoming more comfortable talking about being gay or lesbian or bisexual, has that started to break down some of the barriers that people live with every day, the fact that it's become more common to talk about in everyday sort of even affairs like politics?
There's very little doubt that the more openness there is, that the more it makes it possible for sharing and for thinking about oneself as okay. And also to hear that there's a large part of the community, people who are supporting gay marriage and lesbian marriage, and they're going, hang on a minute, that's saying something that maybe I'm not so troubled by this. But at the same time, if that doesn't translate into the immediate environment, then there is the idea of the community, that if the community that is encountered is different, there still is this rupture between, you know, yeah, I wish those people I know and the people I care about would be as open-minded, but unfortunately they're not. And then also I think, I mean, from my work, I have spoken to quite a number of young people in particular dealing with the issue of coming out. There's always a fear of what will happen, and that can be much worse than the reality of stepping out. It's a process of being mindful and reaching out and having the support around with maybe one or two people initially to go, you know what, I still think of you the same, nothing's changed, that can break down that fear of being judged. And of course, being more accepted with the conversations around saying, you know, I think we should accept gay marriage or lesbian marriage, and we actually should be much more open, than a person sitting there and going, hey, oh, that's interesting, will feel much more comfortable about who they are, their sexuality, and the fears of being judged, being ostracized, which is still such a big part of that, or being bullied, because that can be a reality too, will definitely be reduced.
What can people do if they are living this way, perhaps, as you say, confined by fear, stopping them from coming out in small towns or communities? What can people do to stop that fear from becoming a problem for their ongoing mental health? How can they sort of deal with that issue and still not become a big problem for them?
I think often the step is to reach out to someone who may be safe, because the person may understand. So there are telephone services. There's a telephone counselling service available for people of gay, lesbian backgrounds and transgender, etc. That's actually often a good step in saying, you know, that's where I'm at, and to talk to someone who understands. And the other part is also to have, there are people who are visiting and sharing their own experiences. There are people from the GPs and nurses who say, you know what, that was my experience. And There are organisations where a young person, and it's often the young person that are most troubled and can be so seriously troubled, I mean, we see suicide sometimes, and we have to really take care of that, that they reach out to people they trust first. And so there are counselling services that are specifically responsive. People understand and can help guide the process of dealing with whatever is so difficult, work out some strategies, identify the people who can be allies, and then gradually find the way out and actually be open with the family to whatever extent and the circle of friends. And the more that is done, the better it is. So it reach out. It is okay to reach out for help. There are options via phone. There are counselling services. Mental health professionals are increasingly trained to understand. All I can say is don't do it on your own. Start with a friend. Make sure you find a buddy to share this with. And then gradually, more people, there are professional people, there are people who've been through the same experience and they want to help. And they're certainly willing and available. And it doesn't have to be such a lonely, awful place to be in.
Yeah, you don't have to do it all by yourself. Dr. No. Angela Ebert, Senior Lecturer and Researcher at the Counselling Program, Murdoch University. Thanks very much for joining us today on ABC Midwest and Wheatbelt.
It's been a pleasure.